Now. Good to see everybody today. Hope you're not too wet in your homes where you live. I don't know if this is the time of Noah's flood or what's going on, but it's raining a lot. I know it's raining a lot. So maybe because of the sermon title, maybe that's why it's raining. I don't know. Calming the storm. I do want to say I have a very good friend who's with us today, Dr. Kelly Atkins. She's a professor at East Tennessee State University, and she has two of her students with her. So happy that you came today to visit. So the topic today is Jesus stilling the storm. Stilling the storm. And look at verse 22, and again, follow along in your bulletin or your Bible, whatever you want to do, and I'll be kind of going through it verse by verse. But in verse 22, it says, one day, he got into the boat. Jesus got into the boat. It was on one of those days. One of those days. Now, Jesus had been coming from a very busy part of his ministry. If you were to take the time to read chapters 1 through 7 of Luke, you see how busy he was in this, all of his healing people and teaching and doing miracles and spending time with the disciples. So he'd been very busy. So one of those days, he got into a boat. Now, I don't know if any of you grew up near the water. Did anyone grow up near a lake or water? Anybody? Okay, I didn't either. But my wife did. My wife did. She grew up in Alabama near a lake, a large lake. It was actually a waterway, the Tom Bigbee Waterway. It was like a dam, had a river, and had a big lake that surrounded it. So my wife and I, after we got married, their family had a boat. And on those days, we'd get in the boat. And it was a beautiful time in the boat. The sky would be blue. The birds would be singing and chirping. And we'd go fishing out on the water. But we would really, really enjoy the time out on the water at her home in Alabama. So that's what's happening here. On one of those days, Jesus got into a boat. It was a bright, beautiful day. Blue sky, a little bit of clouds in the sky. The sun was beating down in them. It was a fun day, an enjoyable day, a restful day. And Jesus gets into the boat with his disciples. Everything was going well. Now, I thank the Lord for seasons of our life where everything goes well. Those are precious moments. When you're doing well, your health is good, when you have enough to eat, when you have good friendships, when the church is doing well, when your studies, if you're a student, are going well at school, if your employment is going well and you have a good boss and a good associates, you know, those are good days. And thank God for those days when everything is going well. So Jesus and the disciples get into the boat. And Jesus makes a statement. He says, let us go across to the other side. Now they're on a lake. It's not a real big lake, but it's a large lake. It's bigger than a pond. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of geography. So here we go. Okay, this is the Mediterranean Sea. This is Israel. This is Israel. Okay, Israel's divided into parts. There's Jerusalem. So Israel's divided like this. You have Galilee, Samaria, and Judah. The capital was Jerusalem. It's in Judah. So there's a sea right here. There's a lake. That's a lake. And then there's another one down here called the Dead Sea. And this right here is a river. Anybody know? What's the name of this river that goes from Galilee to the... the Jordan River. So at the very top in this corner is the lake. This is the lake that Jesus says we're going to go to the other side. We're going to go to the other side. The lake kind of looked like this. It wasn't a very big lake. The lake was about the size of Washington, D.C. It's about 13 miles this way and about 8 miles this way. That's how big the lake was. So it's not real big, but it's pretty big. It's the shape, interesting, is in the shape of a violin. It's kind of shaped like a violin. So the Jewish name for this lake is the word for violin. Now they had other names. Some people called it the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee. The Romans called it the Tiberian Sea, the Sea of Tiberias. But this sea is the lake that Jesus was going to cross. They were on this side of the lake. They're going to go to the other side. They're on this side. They're going to go to the other side. Now, what's interesting about that lake is that that lake was surrounded by mountains. The Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains. There's mountains around it. And then there are valleys or ravines that cut through the mountains. There's ravines or valleys that cut through. So what would happen, and also you need to know that the Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. Now our geography lesson's almost over, but it's below sea level. So on that lake, what would happen is the wind would go over the mountains, through these valleys, and they would come over onto the lake, and the cold air would hit the warm air over the sea, over the lake. So storms would come, violent storms would unexpectedly appear. You know what? That's part of life. Sometimes in our lives, we have storms that come into our life. Storms of disappointment. Storms of a broken marriage. Storms of children, perhaps, who don't disobey. Storms of being released from your job. Storms of family issues or problems back home. Storms with your health. Storms with friends. Sometimes God brings storms into our life. As a matter of fact, I think that they're pretty normal. Because usually there's something God is trying to teach us when a storm comes into our life. So, in verse 22, on one of those days, Jesus and the disciples get into a boat, and they're crossing over to the other side of the lake. And he makes a statement, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So, in obedience, they set out. It was probably a sailboat, had a big sail. So, they raised the sail on the boat. They get into the boat and they begin to sail across the lake. Verse 23 says, "And as they were sailing," now you can imagine the gentle waves rocking against the boat. There's a warm breeze blowing down on the boat. It's very peaceful, very quiet. Don't fall asleep here. Very peaceful and quiet. And Jesus was very tired. And it says that he fell asleep on the boat. In one of the other passages, it says that he laid down, there was a cushion. There was a cushion in the back of the boat. And he laid down and he puts his head on the cushion and falls asleep. It's a beautiful picture of the humanity of Jesus. You know, we tend to forget that Jesus was fully man and fully God. So Jesus falls asleep on the boat. And then the whole scene changes. It says in verse 23, a windstorm comes down on the lake. So it's coming from the mountains down upon the lake. All of a sudden, the waves become huge, big waves. As a matter of fact, the boat was becoming swamped. In other words, the boat was beginning to fill up with water. Everything is going wrong. The wind, the waves, the storm, all of a sudden, rain starts to fall. The boat is filling up. The waves are breaking over the edge of the boat. And their lives become endangered. So they begin to bail out the boat. You can imagine, it doesn't say it here, but they get buckets. They get trying to get the water out of the boat. And they can't win. The boat gets filled with water. And these are men who were accustomed to being on the water. They knew about storms. They knew the weather would change. They knew how to fish. They knew everything about how to keep a boat afloat. But they begin to panic. They begin to panic. Their very lives were in danger. Now think about this for a minute. What would have happened to Christianity if Jesus and the disciples would have drowned on that boat? What would have happened to Christianity if Jesus and the disciples would have drowned on that boat? You know the answer is, right? There would be no Christianity. There'd be no cross. There'd be no forgiveness of sins. There'd be no hope. There'd be no life after death. There'd be no eternal life. There'd be very few, if any, hospitals. Christians helped found many hospitals. Christians helped free the slaves. Christians have given millions and billions of dollars to help the poor and the impoverished. What would have happened if Jesus and the disciples would have drowned on that boat? There wouldn't have been a Christianity. But they're panicking. So I can, in my mind, the way I picture it, they go over, here Jesus asleep on the boat. They go over and start to shake him. Wake up, wake up. And they shake him. Maybe they pull the cushion away. But they grab him by the arm. They start to shake Jesus. Wake up, wake up. Don't you care that we're perishing? That's what he says in verse 24. Master, Master, we are perishing. We're getting ready to drown. Jesus, the least you can do, why don't you pick up a bucket and you can help us bail? Master, Master, we are perishing. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of our lives apart from faith in Christ. Apart from Christ, we are drowning fishermen who are perishing on a sinking boat. We have no hope, no chance for the future. That's what's true. Apart from Christ, we are perishing and drowning without hope. That's the beautiful thing about Christianity, is that Christianity gives us hope for today and hope for the future and forgiveness of our past. Isn't that great? So they wake Jesus up. And Jesus stands up in the boat. He sees the wind and the waves. He looks down. He sees the boat filling up with water. The waves are raging and crashing. And amazingly, he says, "Be still." He rebukes the wind and the waves. And they cease raging. And there's a calmness that comes over the lake. And there was a calmness, there was a peace that came over the boat. Panicking disciples are now filled with wonder and awe. Who is this man? Who is this man who can calm the sea and quiet the waves? And they ask that question with wonder and awe. They knew something was different about Jesus. They'd seen the miracles. They had heard his teaching. They'd experienced his love. They'd seen all that. But now they're seeing something a little bit more about Jesus. That he wasn't just a man born in a small town of Bethlehem, but that he was the Son of God, who could control creation itself, the wind and the waves. It's interesting, I found a cross reference over in Psalms. If you want to look there, I'll read it to you. But Psalm 89 is an Old Testament version of what I just read. Psalm 89. Verses 8 and 9. Psalm 89. Verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. Look at verse 9. You rule the swelling of the sea, the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. It's interesting, in verse 8, it identifies who it's referring to. You know who it is? Jehovah God. The Jehovah God of the Old Testament is Jesus. Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. He's the God of the New Testament. He's the God of today. Jesus is the Son of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. So three application thoughts perhaps, and they're in the bulletin. What does this passage teach us about Jesus? The one thing it teaches us is that he keeps his promises. What did he say at the beginning? Let us go to the other side. You know what? He kept his promise. They made it to the other side. He went to the other side. You know what? Just a little aside. Actually, the safest place in the entire universe was on that boat with Jesus when the storm hit. There was no safer place in the entire universe. No safer place. There was no way God the Father would allow Jesus to drown in that boat. That was the safest place in the universe. Now, in the storm, we don't always feel that, do we? We feel, oh my gosh, I hope it ends. I hope it's going to be over soon. But Jesus and the disciples, they were in the safest place they could have been. He's just asking them to believe. That's why he says, where is your faith? He's asking them to believe in him. To believe in him. I think it teaches us about the humanity of Jesus. Like I've already said, he was physically, emotionally tired. And he needed rest. Sometimes in our busy lifestyles, we need rest sometimes. We need to take a Sunday afternoon nap or take our time of Sabbath rest where we rest and get refreshed physically and emotionally. It teaches us that he's Jehovah God, that he can control the universe, the creation itself. By a word of command, he can alter the pathway of the stars. The rising of a whale in the ocean, the wind blowing, the sun rising in the morning, the earth orbiting around the sun. All those things are part of God's plan for our lives. Secondly, what does it teach us about ourselves? It teaches me this: I need to have faith in the midst of the storm. When storms come, I need to believe in God. And I need to believe two things. In the storm, you need to believe two things. The first thing you have to believe is that God is good. That Jesus is good. He wants what is best for us. Now, the storms are difficult, like in the life of Job, as you know. Job was a great man of God, and storms came into his life. All of his children died. He was the wealthiest man on earth. He lost all of his money, all of his finances went out the window. He was covered with boils, sore boils across his entire body from his head to his feet. He suffered greatly. And he had three friends who weren't very helpful to him. Read the book of Job. The first thing, though, we have to believe is that God is good. Second thing we have to believe is that God is sovereign, that he can do something about our storm. About our storm. And then the third application question: what can I apply to my life from this passage? And for me, a couple things come to mind. One is when storms come into my life, I thank God for those storms. I don't understand them. I don't know why they happen. But in faith, God, thank you for this storm in my life that you just brought in. And then secondly, I pray, Lord, get me to the other side. Amen? Get me to the other side. Help me to go through that storm to get to the other side. Now, it's interesting, if you read the verses after this passage, and by the way, this story is told in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which is called synoptic because they have similar gospel material. All three of those gospels have this same exact story, and all three of these gospels has the same thing that happens next. They get to the shore, and everything is peaceful and great, right? Nope. They get to the shore, you know what they run into? A demoniac, a man full of demons. And Jesus has to heal the man of the demons. Anyway, it's another story. So when one thing ends, it doesn't mean all storms go away. There's going to be things in our lives that God brings so that we learn to trust him. So that we learn to trust him. Now, I have 5 grandchildren now. Thank you, Jesus. And my wife is with a couple of them right now in Clemson, over at near Greenville, South Carolina. But I was walking about a month ago. I was with my grandchildren, and my little grandson, he's 4 years old, said, "Granddad," he calls me Granddad. He said, "Granddad, I want to go for a walk." So there's this little hiking area, so we went for a walk. And as we started out on the walk, he held my hand. So we're walking along, and he's holding my hand, and as the walk went a little bit further, he kept looking up at me to make sure I'm still there. He's holding my hand. And then after a little while, you know what he did? He let go of my hand. And he began to walk a little bit further. But he would always look back to see if I was there with him. He never got out of eyesight. He wasn't too far away. And I was careful. I didn't let him get too far away. But as a little boy, as a little grandson, he was learning to depend on me, the grandfather, for direction and safety, for care. You know what? We're all like that grandson. I'm like that grandson, that child, that's trying to learn to be dependent on God. That's all I want to do, is put faith in God. So, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for this passage and what we read in this passage, what we can apply to our lives. Lord, I know all of us in this room, we've experienced storms in our lives, varying levels of ferocity and intensity, but you bring storms to us to help our faith grow stronger. So in the midst of the storm, Lord, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you're sovereign. We thank you that we're learning greater dependence upon you. And Lord, because of that, we can sing, "It is well with my soul," knowing that Jesus is the Son of God who came and died for my sins. And we pray in his name. Amen. All right.